Recently licensed to preach as I'm making progress moving towards ordination. And when somebody gets licensed to preach, all of a sudden you are very popular with other churches because you're a warm body that can speak. And so a lot of churches have been calling me and wanting me to preach, not because I'm, you know, this new hotshot preacher or anything like that, you know that, but because I'm available. And so one of the challenges that I have is, what do I preach every time somebody calls me? Do I just hunt and pick through the Bible and pick something out? So in order to avoid that, I'm going to start working my way through 1 Peter. And so we're going to do that today. And every time I preach here, it's going to be progressively going through the book of 1 Peter. Okay, so and we're going to start there today. And when I go preach somewhere else, they'll be getting something from 1 Peter. Maybe not progressively, but they'll be getting something. And I won't have to hunt and pick and try to figure out. But 1 Peter will be a great blessing to us. And so let's read 1 Peter. And we are only going to take the first two verses of this passage. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with His blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do give you thanks for your word. Every portion of it, Lord, and in its entirety, you have given to us to bless us, to teach us, to correct us and train us and to make us like your Son, Jesus Christ, and to have faith in you. And we pray, Father, that you would do all those things this morning, that you go beyond what I say and work in the heart to bring change and to bring faith and strength and faith in you. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, 1 Timothy tells us in 1 Timothy 3:16, tells us that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now that word all really means all. Every single word comes from God, is inspired, and we are to heed it, to listen to it, pay attention to it, and learn from it. And that means all, that includes genealogies, such as Genesis 5:12, with names that are hard to pronounce, such as Mahalalel. That's inspired from God. He wants us to know that name. He wants us to know why He's doing that. It also means all the detailed laws in Leviticus, such as this law: all winged insects that go on all fours are detestable to you. But among the winged insects that go on all fours, you may eat those that have jointed legs above their feet with which to hop on the ground. That is God's inspired word. And for those, that audience that he wrote that to and had them listen to that, he meant for them to understand it. He meant for them to understand every single word, and so it is for us. And it also means all the simple words in the Scriptures, such as the first word that we just read here in 1 Peter, Peter. God placed that there for us, for training in righteousness, for correction, and for reproof. Now, certainly this first statement, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, is an introduction to who is writing this letter, but it is also more than that. This man, Peter, his life is packed with wonderful truths and experiences that we need to benefit from and that we need to have understood in our life as well. So this was not just any man named Peter. He was a man, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, coming with a message that was not his own, that comes from Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to look at this man, Peter, and how Christ was intimately involved in his life. How Christ had so much to do with why Peter is writing this letter to these Christians. And Jesus was intimately involved with Peter. And as we look at Peter's life here in a moment, you're going to see that. And one of the things of this intimacy that Jesus had with Peter was He was praying with and for Peter constantly. Praying with and for Peter constantly. And were it not for the prayers of Jesus Christ, we would not be reading 1st or 2nd Peter. We would not be looking in the book of Acts and seeing all that God did through Peter. And so what I want us to see today is that Jesus Christ, this ministry of prayer that he had for Peter, was vitally important to Peter and to us. Jesus, the intercessor, praying for Peter, praying with Peter, praying for us, is vitally important to our walk with Christ. So first, if you're following along in your outline, you see the first observation that we make is Peter, the man for whom Jesus prayed. Peter was a real man with real failures and real successes. When you look at the life of Peter as recorded in the Gospels, we see him as this man. We don't see a giant pillar of faith. We see him going back and forth and teetering and tottering with his faith. And it just proves to us that this is a real man, not a superstar. But he is someone that Jesus worked with, and he is someone that Jesus will use in the future. And I want to highlight for you some events of the life of Peter. I know that you're familiar with them, but as Peter writes this letter and he says, Peter, we need to know who Peter is, where he came from, and how he got here. So let's just run quickly through some of the events of Peter, and you won't be able to keep up with this. Just listen. We first meet Peter when he was introduced to Jesus by his brother Andrew. In John 1, verses 40 to 42, Andrew told him, we have found the Messiah. And then he took him to Jesus, and Jesus sees him and says, you shall be called Peter, which as you know means rock. In Matthew 4:18, we then see him at work at his trade as a fisherman. He and his brother Andrew were working at their trade, and Jesus comes to them and calls to them, saying, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So they drop their nets, and they follow him. In Matthew 14, Peter sees Jesus walking on the water towards him in the boat. Peter, wanting to do this as well, said to the Lord, Lord, if it's you, call me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. And Peter jumped out of the boat and began to walk. And when he saw the wind stirring up the waves and took his eyes off of Christ, he began to sink. And Jesus said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? But another time, Peter was strong in the faith. When in Matthew 16:16, he testified when Jesus asked a question and said, who do men say that I am? And they said, hey, they say this and they say that. And Jesus said, who do you say? And Jesus said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed art you, for you did not get this on your own. This was not revealed to you of men, but this came from heaven. And so he had an understanding of Jesus. He believed what he had heard from God. But only shortly later, Peter would, in his zeal, reveal that he did not quite yet understand why Jesus came to earth. For in Matthew 16:21, Jesus stated that he must die and would be resurrected on the third day. And Peter said to him, not so with you, Lord. This shall never happen. And Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are a hindrance to me. And even though Jesus had named Peter a rock, we don't see Peter being such a rock. Not yet. He's more like shifting sand at this point in his life. Often when Jesus had asked the disciples to watch and pray with him, Peter would be found asleep, as in the Garden of Gethsemane. Three times Jesus left the group to go pray by himself, and each time he came back and they were asleep. And Jesus said to Peter, why are you sleeping? And yet when Peter woke up on that same night from that sleepy slumber, he drew a sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest of that mob that came to arrest Jesus Christ, showing great courage, because to do this would certainly mean punishment for Peter. There were times when Peter was hot, and there were times when he was cold. There were times when Peter was full of faith, and there were times when he was lacking in faith. There was times when Peter understood who Jesus was, and there were times when he didn't understand why he came. There were times when he had zeal for Christ, and yet there were times when he was sleepy and dull at other times. We often laugh at Peter. We think, man, that Peter, he was something else. So hasty, so quick to speak, so full of himself, as when he said, Lord, I would not deny you. I would go to jail and even die for you. And we look at this man, Peter, confident in his own strength, faithful and true at times, and yet unfaithful and denying Christ at others. And yet he was the one to whom Jesus would constantly go to whenever he had to talk to the disciples about or to confront them. And yet when I see Peter, I see me. And I bet that you see you. I bet that you see times when you are fully sold out for the Lord. And you can't wait to do something for him. And then I bet there are times when the distractions of this world, whether they be good or bad, draw you, your attention away from Christ. And you're not so zealous for him. Sometimes we are white hot for Christ, and sometimes we are not. Sometimes we are zealous to live for Christ, and yet we must admit that at other times we find it to be embarrassing to live for Christ. We are a lot like Peter. He was a man of faith, yet struggling in his faith. He was a man of failures and a man of successes. Even so, Jesus kept him around. And I ask you, how many of us would keep a guy like Peter around? If he was your employee, how many times would you let Peter be like Peter before you'd say, you know, Peter, it's just not working out. You're a good guy, but it's just not working out. How many times, if Peter was your friend, would you say, I'm just going to keep letting this guy mess up? Or if he was your pastor, how many times would you let your pastor be like Peter? In fact, we know of times when pastors are let go for lesser things than what Peter has done. Peter was a real man, and Jesus knew this man. Jesus knew this man, Peter. He knew he was a sinner. He knew he was full of inconsistent behavior and at times full of himself. He knew Peter. He knew he was a man of theological conviction and yet theological misunderstanding. And yet Jesus kept Peter around. Because Peter was his. He was one of the 12 that Jesus chose. He was one of the men that when Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, that of the ones you have given me, the ones I have chosen, I have lost none except that man of perdition. Peter was one of these. He was one of Jesus' people. Now for Peter, even though Jesus kept him around, things are going to get worse. In fact, Jesus would tell Peter that things are going to get so bad, more than you can imagine. And this account about this is written for you at the top of your outline. So if you look at your outline, there at the top is another passage of Scripture that we have placed there for you. So now we're going to read this. This is that account where Jesus tells Peter that you're about to go under attack. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. And here in this passage, we find why, the reason Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus prayed for Peter because he knew he would be attacked by the evil one. Now, this is an amazing scenario that Jesus presents to us. Here you have the evil one, the devil himself, who is demanding to have one of Jesus' apostles, demanding to have him so that he might sift him like wheat. And can you imagine being told that? Can you imagine being told before it happens that the devil is going to come after you in such a way that he wants to cause your faith to fail? Peter, that's what's about to happen to you. We know that's what the devil is trying to do because that's exactly what Jesus prayed would not happen. This reminds us of that time when the devil came to God about his servant Job. He wanted to attack him, to bring him down, to cause his faith to fail. And we see Jesus praying for Peter because Peter was a man and he was about to come under the attack of the most wicked, hateful, ungodly creature in the universe. That was going to happen to Peter real quick. Whether Peter recognized that or not, we don't know if he really understood. And it may be that he likely didn't because of the way he responded to Jesus. No, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die for you. How it must have hurt for Jesus to say to him, not yet. You're going to deny me. You're going to deny that you knew me. You're not ready yet, Peter. And so one of the reasons that Jesus prayed for Peter was that he was willing that Peter be tried and tested. He was willing that Jesus or that Peter come under attack for his faith so that he might show him his weaknesses. Show him that his strength was not in Peter's will, not in Peter's desire to serve Christ. It was not in anything about Peter. And this attack from the devil was going to show him that. He was willing for him to fold under the pressure for the moment. But Jesus was not willing for his faith to fail. And that's what he prays for Peter. Jesus was not willing that his faith would fail. Jesus was in the midst of this battle with Peter. He was telling Peter, I am interceding for you. I am praying for you. That should have been a great encouragement to Peter. But it also should have been a great warning to Peter that if the Son of God is praying for me, then I must be in great need. I must be about to go through something I cannot imagine. This attack that he tells me is coming, he's praying that my faith will not fail. Now, this is a doctrine that we know under the title of perseverance. Perseverance. The reason Peter would later repent of denying the Lord Jesus Christ was because God was keeping him in Christ. He would repent of his sin. He would turn again to faith in Christ. He would persevere in faith in Christ. But not because of his own strength. Jesus would allow Peter to see that it was not because of his desire or his strength that he would persevere, but because of God who keeps him and God answering Jesus' prayers. Now, the Westminster Confession of Faith speaks of this teaching in detail in chapter 17, and I will only mention part of it briefly, but I do want you to listen to this because it says it very, very clearly what the doctrine of perseverance is. And it's not just a doctrine that's out there in theological land. It's a doctrine that truly ministers to us. Ministers to us. Listen to what they say. Chapter 17, paragraph 1 tells us this, that those whom God has accepted in Christ can never fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere to the end and be eternally saved. And paragraph 2 goes on to say, This perseverance of the saints depends not upon their own free will, but upon the immutability of the decree of election flowing from the free and unchangeable love of God the Father, upon the efficacy of the merit and intercession of Jesus Christ, the abiding of the Spirit and of the seed of God within them, and the nature of the covenant of grace, from all which arises also the certainty and infallibility thereof. All that to say that while it was certain that Peter would be attacked by Satan and he would fall for a time, he would not fall forever. His faith would not fail because of the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ. Peter was going to make it. Not for that moment, but he would pull through. Jesus was praying to that end. Jesus would later go to the cross and secure Peter's place and acceptance with God. And nothing Satan could do could change that. And just like Peter was a frail man of weakness as we are, this same work of Christ that was applied to Peter is applied to us. This same ministry of intercessory prayer that Jesus was taking for Peter, he is taking for us right now. Because we, too, are in need of that ministry. God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are the ones who cause you and enable you to persevere. And thank God it is not your performance, but His. It is God's performance. It is God's power that keeps us to the end. If it were not, we would be like some of those who in the Christian world claim, you need to get saved again. You need to be born again, again. But because of the intercessory work of Jesus Christ, on our behalf, our salvation is secure. It is not your performance, but God's in you that Satan cannot overcome. You, he can't overcome. But God's work in you, he cannot. And so we see that that is the reason that Jesus is praying for Peter. Hebrews 7:25 tells us that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You wonder what Jesus Christ is doing right now? He's sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us, that we might persevere in the faith. That is one of the roles that Jesus has right now. Jeff read earlier from Romans 8:34 that Jesus is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And as he did for Peter, he does for us. And it's because of his work on the cross and the work that he is doing right now at God's right hand that we are absolutely certain to persevere in the faith. If you are one of his children, there is nothing that Satan can do to pull you out of his hand. If you are his, you will persevere to the end. But Peter's salvation was not the only thing Jesus had in mind as he prayed for Peter. As we read there, it says that, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. We see that Jesus prays that his faith would not fail because when he repented, he had a job to do. He was to strengthen his brothers. And Jesus was telling Peter that I'm not only praying for you and your perseverance, but I'm praying that you might be used of God to strengthen God's church. That's what Peter's role was going to be when he came through this. So often the church gets caught up in individualism. And by that I mean, we act like the things that happen to me are for me. Whether they be good or bad, they're for me. We do not realize sometimes that God's work is bigger. In your life, his work is bigger than you and bigger than me. That the struggles that he brings you through are not just for you. They're for others as well. The spiritual growth that He gives to you is not just for you. It's for me. It's for others. The spiritual gifts that He gives you are not just for you. They're for the church, that you might encourage and strengthen them. And that's what He was telling Peter. You're going to make it through this sifting, Peter. You're going to have a faith that perseveres because God is working in you. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You're going to make it through, Christian brothers and sisters. God is going to carry you through. He is going to cause you to persevere. But in that causing you to persevere, He will want to see fruit, and He will bring that about. You see, when Peter came through this, while after he came through this, we can see that this terrible attack, as terrible as it was going to equip Peter to write in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, be not surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Peter could say, "I've been there. I've been under the most severe attack from the evil one that you would ever want to imagine. And Jesus carried me through." That's why he can write 1 Peter 4:12. That's why he can write 1 Peter 5:8. "Be sober-minded, watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Peter says, "I've been there." As I write to you Christians here in this book, I can tell you that attack is coming, that trials are coming. But if you belong to God, He will carry you through. And so Peter's perseverance was not just about him, though it certainly included him. God had a mission for him. His perseverance, just as we are doing today, his perseverance would be an example for us to be encouraged and to be strengthened, to know that if we are in Christ, no matter what hard times come, no matter what trials may come, no matter what attacks may come, we will be carried through. We will be kept by the power of God. And that's what Peter also says. "This salvation we have is kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Just as certain, Jesus knew his prayer would be answered. He knows what the Father's will is, and he knows the Father hears him, and he knows that his will is in perfect conformity to the Father's will. Jesus knew that Peter would come through because he knew that God hears him. And he knew his will was in perfect alignment with God's. And we know that Jesus knew because Jesus, when he said to Peter, "I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again." This was not a statement that Jesus was saying, "And I hope you make it through, and if you do, do this." No, he said, "When you have." That is a certain thing that Jesus is saying is going to happen. It's not if you turn again, but when you have turned again, do this. And that "do this" was the fruit of Jesus' prayer for Peter. Peter would go on to live a life of faithful perseverance. And that's the third observation in your outline. In order to see this, we need to do a quick rundown of Peter's life after this point of failure. Because after this point, Peter becomes a changed and transformed man. After he gets emptied of himself and realized there is no strength in and of himself to keep him, to help him to overcome the devil, he becomes a changed and transformed man. Upon news of Christ's resurrection, he would be the one to run to the tomb. When Christ told them to wait for power from on high, he would be part of that group waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon him and the others to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. He would go to jail and suffer for Christ. He would be beaten and threatened to never speak of the name of Jesus again. But he would not listen to that. He would go on to witness for Jesus Christ. He would not be denying Christ, but proclaiming Him. And he would preach the gospel and see God bring thousands to Himself through Jesus Christ. This was a changed man. He would be used by God to show the Jews that God was bringing the Gentiles into the faith and household of God. He would, by God's power, be used to heal many people. And we are told, not in Scripture, but by early church history documents, that so strong was his faith that he eventually would do what he told Jesus he would do. He would die as a martyr for Jesus Christ. Peter was a changed man. He was faithfully persevering for Jesus Christ. And because Christ prayed for him, he would persevere in this faith. He would, as a part of his fruit bearing, write a letter to strengthen his fellow believers. That's in your outline. And point B. Now, the book of 1 Peter covers many themes, many different themes. There's a wide variety of them. But we see in chapter 5, verse 12, Peter says this as he closes the book and writes his final words in that first book. He says, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. Peter was fulfilling what Jesus told him he was being saved for. He was strengthening his brothers and sisters in the faith. He is seeking to encourage us in this book that when fiery trials come, we have a God who will keep us from falling. And though we may fail God, and though it's really not a may, is it? Though we will fail God, He will never fail us. If you belong to Jesus, He will never let you go. That's what Peter is telling these Christians about in this letter. You are going to face severe trials, but you are being kept by God. See, this letter was written to strengthen the brothers and sisters in Christ. Here is a man who sinned miserably, was saved by God's grace alone and persevered in faith by the power of God and was transformed by Jesus Christ. And now Christ speaks His very own words to us through Peter. And what Jesus has done for and through Peter, He has done for us. This prayer ministry of Jesus Christ is ongoing, and it will keep you in the faith. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. By way of application, I would say to us, there is nothing for us to do. It's been done. But simply to say, rejoice and give thanks, because Jesus is always praying and interceding for you. And I would encourage you that next time you find yourself in a trial of any sort, in an attack from the evil one of any sort, do not first call out to your friend to pray for you. Do not first call your elder or deacon to pray for you. But give thanks to God that Jesus already is. And by His interceding for you, you will be kept in the faith no matter what Satan does to you. So rest in that and rejoice in that. That is our application. Rejoice that because Jesus interceded for Peter, Peter persevered and is faithful to bring us God's Word, that we too might be strengthened and encouraged in our times of trial to rest and rejoice in the work that Jesus has done and is doing for us at this very moment. He is keeping you. He is interceding for you. And Satan cannot make your faith fail. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have